Through the word of God, the Holy Spirit leads and he guides. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't go there. That's how he leads. The book of Psalms 119 verse 133 says, guide my step by your word so I will not mess up. You'll be amazed how many Christians don't even read the Bible every day. Apparently, you don't want to be led. Because if you want to be led, then you will check the scripture and God will lead you through the word of God. The Holy Spirit will open your heart to see what God wants you to do, what God wants you to see, what God wants you to apply in your life. Number three, there must be a realization that you are human. If you think you're so holy, have you ever seen some people you can't teach them nothing? They know everything. You can't sing to them. You can't preach to them because they think they already got it. You have to recognize that you have human nature, human tendency. In fact, the truth be told, every one of us here, you have three enemies in your life. Who are those three enemies? Number one, the world. The scripture say, watch out for the world. They're crazy. I can write a book on that. Beginning with church folks. The second enemy you have, ladies and gentlemen, is the devil. He said, behold the devil, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he's going to devour. The Bible tells you, don't conform to this world. The world is an enemy. The devil is an enemy. But guess who the third enemy you got? Your flesh. Your own flesh. Let me ask you a cool question. How many of you can live for 5 minutes without sinning? Only two? Okay, at least we're close to the truth. Just two, okay? We're making progress. 5 minutes. Just think about it. I didn't even say 2 hours. 5 minutes. You need the Holy Spirit. The only way we can live without sin is by the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even God had to deal with me concerning this. God had to deal with my pride and deal with my arrogance and deal with my flesh. God had to teach me about selfishness and teach me about religion and tradition. I was a Baptist boy, Baptist to the core. And he had to help me to understand there's something better than your denomination. If you want the Holy Spirit to lead you, you have to recognize that you are a human being. Number four, you have to realize that God's standard cannot be attainable by your human effort. It don't matter how much you try. That's what separates us from other religion. Other religion thinks all you need to do is just try and just try and just keep on trying. But no, you are better off to allow the Holy Spirit to help you. I learned the hard way. Even pastoring this church, I learned I couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do the work of God without the Holy Spirit. I could not minister effectively without the Holy Spirit. I rely on him to help me. I rely on him for inspiration. I rely on him for wisdom. I rely on him for courage. When I'm discouraged, he picks me up. I rely on him for power. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. I rely on him for anointing. When I don't know how to break it down to your level, I depend on him to make me. And I've been in some warfare, even in ministry. It takes the Holy Spirit to win. I remember one time we were in church, and the devil was so mad at what I was teaching. Many of you were not here. He just sent lightning. And no other house was struck except our church building. That's why sometimes I look at some preachers now. When they say, "Pastor, I want to be like you," I say, "If I throw the keys at you, you better duck. Can you drink from the cup?" And with no light in the building, with no sound in the building, I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Preach on, boy." He amplified my voice. Just during the work of the ministry, somebody came and hit my automobile head on and destroyed instantly. In ministry. I tell people all the time, you see the glory, you never know my story. Just serving the Lord here. Lost my eyes. You see me looking at you, but one eye is gone. Many of you watch me here, literally collapse serving the Lord. Paul said, "My body bears the mark." 3 times I was stoned. I was shipwrecked, beaten by snake. It is not easy to do the work of the ministry. You need the Holy Spirit. The only reason I'm still standing is the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you still here? Now you see why Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, "It's not by might. It's not by power." It takes his spirit. And whatever I've accomplished, make no mistake about it, it was done on my knees. It was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. My education couldn't do it. My talents couldn't save me. I couldn't make it on my own. It takes the Holy Spirit. Are you still here? You know what I'm trying to tell you? At your very best, you cannot make it without God. Now you understand why we sing, "Without God, I could do nothing. Without him, I will fail." See, those are not just some fine tune. Those are serious revelation. Without him, my life will be rugged like a sheep. Without, I say, you need the Holy Spirit to fix that son, that daughter. You need the Holy Spirit to fix that situation. You need the Holy Spirit to help you with your marriage. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you in your business. You need the Holy Spirit to protect your doggone job. Without him, you can do nothing. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask Peter about it. Peter was walking on water. And he got carried away. He thought, "Look at me, I can do it. Go, Josh. Oh, yeah, it's your birthday." And Peter was rocking all of a sudden he started to sing. So I'm not surprised when the worship team began to sing to us this morning. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But the master of the sheep heard my cry. When was the last time you cried to God and said, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. If you don't help me, I don't stand a chance. Help me out of this situation. How do you allow him to lead you? Just learn to rest upon him. Learn to depend on him totally. When you get to that point that you know, moment by moment, you need him. Every hour, every minute, every second. That's why we'll be singing, just a closer walk with him. Granted, Jesus, because that's somebody you know. No, if you don't lead me, if you don't guide me, I'm going to mess up. And let me say this while I invite our worship team to come back. Then you need to learn to obey him. Believe it or not, he will tell you stuff. That's right, brother. He sure will tell you. Turn right, turn left. Don't do this. Don't do that. He's always trying to guide you. But of what good if you tell a child, don't do this, and he do it anyway? I never will forget my son, my only son. He was in college. And he said, Dad, I want to join the fraternity. I said, son, you don't need no fraternity. He said, but this is what I want to do. I said, okay, tell me, what's in it for you? See, all my sons here, they're all into that. So he told me, oh, you can network. You can get some friends. I say, son, let me tell you, there's nothing you want in this community that you cannot have. Your family got a good name. I worked too hard to establish a name here. You don't need no fraternity. But he said, that's what I want to do. I say, okay, son, I love you. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. Make my day. See, in the fraternity, you see all my children in the Lord, they all. I don't have nothing. They got sorority, they got fraternity. And sure enough, one day, while he was pledging, they beat him up. They sure did. So he called me. I said, no, Negro, don't start the mess now. Remember, that's what you want, right? Then he said, no, I got to get out of this. I said, wrong answer. I said, let me tell you something about the Daras. Daras don't quit. You study, say, enjoy the ride. I say, and please don't call me back. And sure enough, I don't know what they go through. So. But they made it. So, what am I trying to tell you? The Holy Spirit is the most important person we need. Yes, it's okay to join your social organization, Lifeway, Salvation Army, Sorority, Fraternity, First Baptist, Second Baptist, First Methodist, Church of God in Christ, Christ of God in Church. I mean, you can join everything else you want to join. But be very sure that you have the Holy Spirit leading you. Come on, give the Lord God a clap of it. Hallelujah. If you are live streaming with us today, I invite you just like I'm inviting those who are here. Be sure that you give your life to Jesus Christ. And not only to make heaven your home while you're here, be sure you give your life to the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Oh, I wish I could sit down with you and tell you how important this is. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. But when you know better, you do better. If you need prayer in your live streaming, there's a number under the screen. Dial that number. There are ministers of the gospel that are waiting to pray with you. Believe me when I tell you, there's no mountain too high that God cannot fix. And let me encourage all of you here today, when it's time for you to go, please remember to honor God with your substance. Remember to honor God the first fruit with the first fruit of your increase. You know why? Not so much for the benefit of the church, for your own good. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9-10 say, if you do that, your barn will be filled with plenty. Your skin will bust out with new wine. While everybody is going scared about the economy, God will be blessing you. That's the will of God for you. And I invite those of you who are live streaming to join us to do the same. You see, I'm not in the building. How can I give? Well, go to the church website, zionhill.com. There's an opportunity for online giving. Believe me when I tell you, this is good ground. If I can only tell you how many thousands of people sign in every week to be fed by this ministry. And that's the kind of ministry you'll be sowing into. And God will bless you and increase you for your giving. Amen. Will you help me welcome the greatest group on this side of Jordan? God bless you.
Just as Pastor said, the will of God is for you to be blessed, so we want to continue to speak a blessing over your life. If you're streaming with us, we want to continue to speak a blessing over your life this morning.
upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. Hey.
Be upon
and a thousand
generations
and your family
and
all of your children
and their children
and their children. We speak today. Be upon and a thousand
generations
and your family.
Your children,
their children, and their children. May his presence go
before
and behind
and beside
you, all around you,
all around you.
He is with you,
he is with you.
In the morning,
in the evening,
when you're coming
and
you're going,
in your
return.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
Would you help me thank God for Jesus? The underlying power of the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord is typified by baptism. The reason that baptism is an important ordinance in the Christian church, because it represents what Christ did for us, and through the rites of baptism, we join him and come into fellowship with him through the baptism into his death and being pulled, raised up out of the water, symbolizing his resurrection, being beneath the water, symbolizing his burial. There's an odd tradition today that whenever babies are born, we have showers and celebrate. It used to be all the women would get together and have a shower. Now they make the men come too. I like it the old way. But everybody comes and they bring food and they have an amazing celebration, a tribute to the birth of the child. We do it, but it's really not biblical. I'm not saying that we should stop doing it, but just so that you would be informed, it's not biblical. That doesn't mean you can't do it. You know, we do a lot of things that's not biblical. The biblical thing, come on somebody. The biblical thing, if we were to do it right, whenever a baby was born, we would dress in black. And we would come out in mourning clothes. And we would weep around the bassinet. Seems odd, but that's biblical. Because the Bible said that we are to weep when they are born. It didn't make any sense to me when I was young to weep when you're born. I had to live a while to understand what the weeping is about. Life will teach you what the weeping is about. The agonies and miseries and misfortunes will teach you what the weeping is about. The disappointments and the breaking of your heart will teach you what the weeping is about. Jesus said that we are to weep when they are born and rejoice when they depart. What he teaches us is the connectivity between birth and death. I want you to understand this. I appeal to your reasoning to get this, if you will. Death and birth are twins. They look just alike. They imitate each other. We are told to weep when the baby is born because it's born into a sinful world, filled with disappointment, filled with flaws and failures and heartache and misery. And we're told to rejoice when they depart.